Welcome, you're channeling truth on the 9th of December 2010. Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Herewood Fenton. Tonight I'm joined by Josh Jackson. And we are going to attempt to deal with the situation that's unfolding in relation to WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. That is the big story at the moment. It kind of dwarfs everything else, even though there's so many other things that we could talk about. I think we're going to spend the whole show tonight trying to unravel it all for you, if we possibly can, which of course we won't be able to, but we'll try. And on that note, I would like to welcome to the show Mr. Joshua Jackson. Josh, welcome.
Good evening, folks, and Herewood Fenton.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, Josh, we have both been studying the situation with WikiLeaks, and the world has been obviously inundated with this. I imagine anyone who's basically got a radio or a television probably is now aware of the current situation, with the founder of WikiLeaks being in jail in London.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, for a long time, the information about WikiLeaks was it was in the media a lot, but it suddenly now reached the point where you can't not know about it. It's become just the news now. And I think a lot of aspects of the story, which had been sort of a little bit suppressed about the sex charges in Sweden and perhaps misunderstood, have now come a lot clearer with the allegations of rape, sexual assault, sex by surprise, whatever you want to call it. It's all very strange. Now, sort of coming more to the fore, and a lot of people being aware of how ridiculous that whole scenario is. But I just want to sort of lead into this subject by saying that the whole discussion about Julian Assange and about WikiLeaks is very polarized, and it's very polarized within the larger community, and it's also very polarized within the alternative truth communities as well. And because this is a very explosive situation. And I mean, I've done a lot of looking into some of the claims that have been made about Julian Assange perhaps having connections with Intel, and some of the, negative aspects of what may be behind WikiLeaks. But I've also been all along saying very strongly that this is a complete travesty of justice and democracy to see a person being, first of all, his name associated with rape when in fact there was never a charge of rape. Yeah. And of course, for that to go on month after month in the media. And then, of course, to see talk show hosts in major American and Canadian television, as well as leading politicians, senators, saying that Assange should be rendered to a military prison or assassinated with a predator drone strike.
And that's right. I mean, let's just run through a couple of them here. You know, Glenn Beck said that Julian Assange should be tried for treason and executed. He also made other really ridiculous remarks and idiotic remarks. Mike Huckabee said, whoever in our government leaked that information is guilty of treason. And I think that anything less than execution is too kind a penalty. So not only is going after Assange, but anyone who leaks, which I guess, it's just by the by. Bill O'Reilly, our good old friend Bill O'Reilly, said that leakers are traitors who should be executed or put in prison for life. I mean, Sarah Palin said to target WikiLeaks Julian Assange like the Taliban.
That is, Look, I just want to point out,
Congressman wants LeakyWeeks designated a terrorist organization. Eric Bolling of Fox News, Assange should be put in jail or hanged in a public forum.
My goodness,
Wayne Simmons of Fox News calls WikiLeaks a terrorist organization. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters of Fox News, I would execute leakers. These are people openly calling it.
I'm laughing, but it ain't funny.
Obama to send Julian Assange to Guantanamo. So Rush Limbaugh, radio talk show host, back in the old days when men were men and countries were countries, this guy would die of lead poisoning from a bullet in the brain.
Can I just point out that the only thing that differentiates WikiLeaks from, say, The Guardian or the New York Times or Truth News or any other media source, the only thing that distinguishes WikiLeaks is that they provide, as part of their service, a secure environment for people to deposit information so that the source of the information cannot be tracked. Because every other media organization eagerly wants to get information from leaks. That is actually how the news works. News is constantly leaked. That actually, that's what they call a scoop. That's what journalists are supposedly always looking for, is a scoop story. But the key thing that differentiates WikiLeaks is that they provide a service so that the source of that information cannot realistically ever be known, other than you know, the information that is found in the information can tell you the original source, but the person who delivered it is like the messenger is removed from the equation.
And this goes all the way back to do not shoot the messenger, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, no matter what you think, if you think, because I've heard a lot of truth to say, oh, this, you know, it's a front for a CIA and all this sort of stuff. And look, that's a whole conversation we're going to get into in this show. But whatever you think, right now is a time when a young fellow is in prison for basically being for letting information out there, whether you think whatever the information is. He's in prison. He's now being asked to be to be charged with treason, even though he's an Australian citizen, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
He's basically in the hands of the state, of the global state, of the New World Order. So it's really a time for us not to bicker about the guy, quite honestly, just starting out, and to all be behind his freedom.
Yeah, I think you're right, Josh. I think in this situation, and it's changing so quickly that we really just have to reserve judgment as well. Like we have to basically let the events unfold while being aware of all of the sides of this. But if you jump to a conclusion too early about what's happening or what's going to happen, it's sort of, you get locked into that.
Look, now, at the end of the day, like you said, Harold, you put it perfectly. He's just another news outlet. Now, I don't trust any news outlet wholeheartedly. I've been, you know, conditioned. I've conditioned myself really over the years to have a skeptical eye on any one news article and really use my brain to think about and to research the stories for myself and try to find other sides and then make my own mind up based on reason and evidence and logic. You know, that goes the same with WikiLeaks, and I think it's so important that people don't just see the word leak at the end and think, oh, that's truth then because it's leaked.
Now, what I find fascinating is that Joe Lieberman, whose name is infamous in relation to acts of just destruction of the US Constitution, abolition of basic rights and censorship, Joe Lieberman is one of the leaders in this charge to have Assange brought to the US to face espionage charges. And he is saying that what Julian Assange has done is a violation of the Espionage Act. Now, Well, what has Julian Assange done? Well, he's charged with what's the exact terminology? Sex by coercion. I'm so confused by the mind-numbing double think of the Swedish sex charges that I honestly can't even remember the tortured phraseology that he's currently charged with. But it's some sort of coercive sex thing, right, that he's charged with. That's got nothing to do with espionage, okay? But that's why he's currently in jail. Now, the Americans want to get him to Sweden because they think that they can get him out of Sweden easier than they can get him out of the UK. And it's quite clear that the Swedish government is just acting in the most appallingly spineless way. I mean, honestly, I would be ashamed of...
Yeah.
If I was a Swedish person who I know the Swedish people, they are very progressive. They're awake, okay? The 9/11 truth movement is very active in Sweden.
Yeah.
I really am so sorry for Sweden to see that it has sunk so low.
Exactly. No, they are. I mean, but I can tell you why, because they're so socially progressive that they're in total debt because they can't afford all the socialized everything that they've got. And I think they're indebted to the States.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where Sweden sits in the overall sort of banking cartel squeeze. I guess they've probably been squeezed for longer and harder than anyone else.
It's a big cluster fruck.
Yes.
Between every country. I mean, really, it's all over the place, and it's the private banks at the top of the food chain.
And let's just recap here for the listeners who didn't follow the Assange rape case from the beginning. Initially, the headlines went out a few months ago that he was charged with rape, but then those charges were immediately withdrawn. And it was made quite clear that there was no coercive sex, that the word rape was completely inaccurate in terms of the definition of that word in the English language, that it was completely inaccurate that he would ever be charged with rape when he'd had consensual sex. Now, then about a week later, another prosecutor jumped in and reopened the case after the first prosecutor had basically said, look, this is ridiculous, we're dropping the charges.
Oh, look, I mean, quite honestly, Harold, I don't think there's even any point covering this. Because it's, everybody knows it's totally trumped up. It reminds me of a lot of John Lennon in the the time when America tried to get him out because he was too influential among the youth. And basically tried to trump up some marijuana charge from years before in London,
right?
To basically kick him out of the country, and so they just use any old excuse, you know.
That's right. That's right. Although, yeah, and I mean, I hope that people can see that. I do think though that the situation has become so polarized that. I think that a lot of right-wing people are going to be influenced by people like Glenn Beck.
Mm.
And here's the problem. See, Glenn Beck also is very prominent in the Tea Party movement, and the Tea Party movement has a lot of support from people who are somewhat of the Liberty movement.
Oh, yeah, and it's, Glenn Beck's a very big Christian, and there he is calling for somebody's assassination. You know, the murder of someone. Now, he's a messenger, right? So they're saying, ooh, but, it could have people killed, yeah, over in these countries. Well, hang on a minute. These people are over in these countries killing people. They're the killers. They're the ones in illegal wars. They're the ones shooting and maiming and killing and thriving on the death and destruction of these countries. You know, and then someone says, oh, by the way, they're killing and maiming or whatever information they want to release, and all of a sudden he's the one that's murdering them?
Yeah, that makes no sense at all, does it?
No, I mean, it's totally absurd. And, you know, someone I subscribe to and listen to, Stefan Molyneux, he put it very well when he said, you know, it's like a a guy, you know, he's 15, he's been abused by his uncle his whole life, and they're sitting around a dinner table, and he says, he stands up, and he's just sitting around the dinner table with his uncle there and his family there, and he stands up one day and says, I'd like to make an announcement. My uncle Joe here has been sexually abusing me since I was a child. Now, who do you think the family's going to get angry at? Straight away, the anger gets pointed at the messenger, at the guy that was abused, not at the actual abuser. And this happens over and over. And I think this is it's a really good analogy for this. As soon as you come out with a story of, hey, these people are abusing this, you're not going to actually get angry at the abusers. Oh, no. You get angry at the messenger.
Yeah, or the person who is perceived to be the messenger. Because in this case, Assange isn't even the messenger. He's just the CEO of an organization. And we don't really know who the messenger is. But that of course, infuriates some people. But, you know, I suspect what infuriates them more is what they don't know WikiLeaks might reveal. Because, you know, in chess, they say that a threat is much more powerful than its execution. And this is a really important point in strategy, in any kind of warfare, in any kind of confrontation. A threat is much more powerful than its execution. Now, just think about what that means. We don't know what else WikiLeaks might have. Nobody knows. We know that they've got access to some things. Now, some people have said those things aren't really that interesting. True, but we don't know what they haven't told us yet, or what they haven't shown us, or what they might get in the mail next week from another source, because they've demonstrated that they can do this, that they can actually get this information and it can't be traced. So,
absolutely. I mean, this reminds me very much of the Napster case, because Napster, he was an idea, a concept, where people could all of a sudden distribute information in the form of songs over a wide area network. And it was a very disruptive technology. Instantly, it got everybody's backup who was in an industry associated with it. And now what they try to do is hang up to dry the guy that invented it, which they eventually did. And then they shut down the site, but the idea got out, and instantly there was 20 copies of the concept, and then torrenting came out. The next thing, torrents about 2 years later got invented, or became mainstream, I should say. And now they can't stop it. I mean, torrenting, the torrent technology is being used now to torrent a new DNS type.
Yes, Josh, you've been researching that a bit. Can you just update us on that current development, which I believe it was announced through the Torrent Freak site, that we'll be able to have an internet that functions on the basis of a BitTorrent rather than the current system of top-level domain name servers?
Yeah, so, I'll break it down quickly. Well, do you want to go for a quick break, and I'll break it down after that?
Yeah, sure. Let's have a quick old break.
Sick of the lies, deception, spin and half-truths? Well, so are we. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Tune in every week at truthnews.com.au or subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favourite podcatcher.
And welcome back. And now, Josh, please continue with your discourse.
Yeah, so basically what happened is the United States government shut down a whole heap of websites, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. And to combat this, a whole heap of propeller heads, also known as geeks, also known as hackers, also known as good guys, got together and basically set up a concept of of decentralizing what's called as DNS, that's domain name server. Now, for the folks that don't know what that is, when the whole internet runs on IP addresses, and these are a string of numbers, so 10.2.43.51, you might have seen those sort of things around the place. Now, if you take that number, it would be very hard to remember. You know, no one can remember all these numbers. So what someone came up with back in the day was, hey, let's have this thing called a DNS server, which converts www.truthnews.com.au to the IP address to www.truthnews.com.au. Now, where these servers, people can host these DNS servers all around the place. So DNSs are hosted on main key infrastructure points around the web. There's only, I think, a few of them, and they're like the top tier. It works very much like a pyramid, like anything in the New World Order works like a pyramid. So we see a top-down level domain name, which, I think it's
up to the .com or the .net. That's what they call the top level. The domain name server controls that top level part of the domain, there's a limited number of top level domains. We've got the .com, .net, .org, which we started off with. But then there were quite a few others that have been added, and then there's the country prefixes that follow that, and we've got .com.au, we've also got .co.uk, etc. But yet there is a finite number of those.
That's right, and there's basically only a few servers that then trickle those down to a lot of servers, a lot of DNSs around the world. So your host, like IINet or Telstra, they have a DNS server. So when you type in truthnews.com.au, that then gets pinged over to Telstra. Telstra have a massive big text file basically that says, "Hey, Truth News, okay, that's pointing at this address," and then that address gets sent all around and to the right address. So just like a postal service type of thing, just to put it in basic terms. Now, what can happen is if your website isn't to the liking of the powers to be, they can just, take that DNS listing out of the system.
Correct.
Now, what's happened is these propeller heads have gotten together and thought, right, well, how can we get around this? So what they've done is they've taken the whole torrent concept, and torrents are what are basically a glorified Napster-type concept where you have a file and you want to share it with someone. And so a torrent file gets uploaded, and that torrent basically links to everyone that has that file, and then you start downloading parts of that file from multiple sources around the web. So
just to cut to the chase, BitTorrent actually is kind of like an alternate network that uses the internet, but it's completely independent of the World Wide Web. Yeah, when people think of the internet, they often think of web pages. They think of, I go to www.something. That's a web page. But BitTorrent doesn't care about web pages. BitTorrent uses the internet, but it connects everyone to everyone in a giant chain.
That's right. Yeah, it's a different style of networking. So when I download a file from BitTorrent and Herald's got it, my computer actually links directly to Herald's computer and starts downloading part of that file or all of it. And so what they've done is they said, well, let's set up everyone as a server, as a DNS server.
That's right.
To host these new .p2p, which stands for peer-to-peer, or so some people have said, a power to the people, domain names. Now, this is a huge advancement in the concept of the internet, because this basically would stop any sort of censorship of the internet as we know it. The only way they could censor it now is by legislating people to say that legislation and stuff like that to say that if anyone visits a .p2p domain, they'll be taken to prison.
Well, one thing that it does require that makes it a little bit different to a normal web browser is that you would need a special little application, which actually is kind of like a little database application. And what that actually does, that would run in conjunction with your browser. And that actually allows your browser to resolve web addresses that have the P2P extension. It would basically route any web address that has P2P.P2P in it through this little application, which would then resolve it for you using the distributed BitTorrent network rather than the centralized DNS lookup tables.
Yeah, and anyway, this is another huge advancement to the freedom of information, and this is why we mentioned it today, because this all ties into the WikiLeaks style of sharing of information and being free of information, because, you know, people that lie never want to tell the truth, and that's why they're so scared of the concept of a WikiLeaks style website, which all of the web is anyway. Let's face it, the whole web is a WikiLeaks concept, because as soon as it's on there, it's available to everyone. It's a broadcast, you know, your own little broadcast.
Thanks for that update, Josh. Well, getting back to the main event. I really wanted to get into the WikiLeaks from a few different angles tonight, and we're trying to get in there. It's difficult, right? Because there's just so much to look at. I want to just take a look at what WikiLeaks has actually done so far in terms of what they've given us critically, so that we can actually understand why it is that some people are saying that WikiLeaks is a bit soft, right? I mean, this is what started to come out with the previous release of the Afghan war diaries, is that some commentators, and up to then, WikiLeaks was getting really strong support, and I was very supportive of WikiLeaks up till about then. But what we have noticed is that WikiLeaks has become softer in terms of the information that it's providing. And I just wanted to highlight a few aspects of the information that's come out of WikiLeaks that I find a bit problematic. And one of them, most recent thing that I heard, I believe yesterday, and it's in an article by The Guardian, and this is something that I do know a little bit about, so I can speak with reasonable confidence about it. One of the documents was diplomatic cables in relation to Libya and Muammar Gaddafi and the case of the Lockerbie bomber, al-Megrahi, who was actually released from prison. And I know, because I had been following this story very closely up until his release, that there was this mounting pressure from within Scotland, because there was a movement that was basically trying to expose the fraudulent way that al-Megrahi was convicted, because there was all this exculpatory evidence, all this evidence that suggested that he, at the very least, wasn't, the key conspirator. And really, it was evidence that would call for a mistrial. It was evidence that would say that he'd have to be thrown out, you know, and he was already getting quite old and he was sick. So the likelihood was that he was going to be released because of this. And it was really damning. I mean, this evidence, Josh, pointed to a complete travesty of justice within the legal system that allowed him to be convicted. Then of course we had, suddenly it was announced in the news that he was being released, and then we had this flood of reports, that right wing people in the US were up in arms. How dare they release the killer? You know, the Lockerbie bomber. How dare he be released? He killed all these people, and that's all we heard about for a while. And then the story kind of went away. But one of these stories from the WikiLeaks case is that this guy was released as a result of, pressure from within Libya, that they were going to do all this kind of, I don't know, as threats, like they were somehow going to do trade deals that were going to injure the UK. And it was all just threatening. And that was sort of really pumped up in The Guardian. And I'm thinking, you know, that's not the real story. You know, that's the real story is that guy had to be released because it was a travesty of justice. That's one example. Another example I want to give is in relation to Saudi Arabia and two things, which is the bombing of Iran and also the Hezbollah. We hear a lot from the WikiLeaks data that that Saudi Arabia is very keen to for the US to go to war with Iran. And I mean, of course, we do know that, and I don't actually dispute that. But again, this is the kind of the soft information that is coming up out of this stuff. And then, of course, there was another report from that same source that that Saudi Arabia was pressuring the Americans to go to war against Hezbollah. Well, I don't know whether it was the Americans directly, but they wanted to see Hezbollah attacked, and that was in relation to, you know, the war with Israel. And again, you know, well, it's great from it's hard for me to explain it other than just that you get this information and it's all fluffed up and pumped up and so, oh, look at this amazing intelligence. Well, you know, can I just give you an example of what I would like to see leaked that is actually already in the public domain but no one seems to care?
Yeah, bring it on.
Well, I mean, how about the freefall collapse of Building 7? Because honestly, yeah. I am absolutely fed up with the travesty that is 9/11 being continuously ignored by people that claim to be lovers of truth. I'm not singling out Julian Assange here. The whole lot of them who've turned their backs on this ought to be very ashamed of themselves.
Michael Moore, all of them, yeah.
They need to live in shame and be reminded of their shame. And I know some of them do feel shameful about it, because I know quite a few of them know that it's very wrong. But they aren't willing to step out.
Don't even mention it because they feel that, oh, look, if I bring this stuff out, then all my other stuff will be discredited because I've got a lot of real solid information here. I feel that, the WTC attacks aren't solid enough, which is ridiculous because there's so much evidence, it's crazy. But, you know, that's the sort of mindset I think is happening in a lot of people. But, you know, I mean, we in the truth movement feel the same about, man walking on the moon. We don't want to touch that too much because that topic too much because it might discredit all the hard work we've put into the 9/11 truth movement. So it's, you know, I can understand it in a certain way, but look, I mean, there's just so much evidence. It's not like the man on the moon. You know, it really isn't. And I know I'm going back on myself here, but I was just playing the devil's advocate. And I think really there is so much evidence about 9/11 now that it's obscene that not one major news bulletin just stands up and says, we've had enough. Look at this, folks. Look at it in your face.
Yeah.
Look at it. Why is this happening? Why did Building 7 collapse just in free fall speed? Why? When no plane hit it. Yeah, planes hit the two other towers, but not this one, not this 47-story building.
And just let me say that I fully understand that there are some issues that are perhaps they're of historical interest, but they're things that we don't want to spend too much time on because yes, they can make us more lose our credibility with people who are maybe on a superficial level and they just associate us with, you know, nutty ideas. But with things like 9/11, and there's other ones as well. I mean, you know, and I mean, we've made a lot of progress with climate change, I feel. You know, we actually have garnered some serious support from the mainstream on that. And thank, you know, heaven for that. You know, we've done something there. Although we're still really up against it with that. Like it's, I don't even feel confident there because it it's on the brink. It's on the fence every day. It's teetering. You know, we don't know which way. It's
record freezing cold in Europe. And the snows early and
absolutely. And you know, I just want to say that yes, I recognise that it is important to be strategic in the information that you look at. And even within the 9/11 questions, we're very strategic about what we talk about because, you know, we know that people have all kinds of conspiracies, right? And good on them, because I think it's totally fair and reasonable when they see they've been lied to in such a grand way to maybe be speculating in all different directions. And I would never put someone down for that, okay?
No, and this is in your bringing it back to Julian Assange when he said that, you know, I'm sick of people focusing on false conspiracies or something of that. I'm paraphrasing there, but
yeah.
It, you know, really, if someone asked him a question and he was what I would put, you know, didn't want to challenge more scary, well, more controversial subjects as fear of putting risk on things that are in your face right now, obvious. Then you know, at least he could have said was, oh, you know, it's all. Like if someone said, what do you think of 9/11? You know, he could have said something like, it's all a big, you know, everybody knows it's all dodgy.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know.
And of course, you're referring to a often quoted article where he was said to have actually said that he was annoyed by 9/11 conspiracies, that 9/11 was a false conspiracy, and he said, I'm annoyed by it when there are a lot of real conspiracies in the world and people are obsessed with this false conspiracy. Now, of course, it may well turn out that that was a false quote. I've yet to actually have it proven to me that he really said that, because it was only based on one source. And it wasn't a double quoted statement, and even when things are quoted, I like to have more than one source. But in Absolutely. This case, it was actually a paraphrase statement, and it may well be that he was misquoted. Mm. So, and I would say I would in a heartbeat I would change my opinion of Julian Assange if he would step up on the question of 9/11. I mean, and there's probably millions of people in the world who would also are like me. You know, if he would do that, he would be my hero. Okay, I would bow down before him if he would do that. And so I'm ready for him to do that. Okay, it's my challenge. I don't expect him to do it while he's in jail. Okay, but once he's been through this, I think he's going to get out of jail, because he has a lot of support. He has a lot of support from very influential people, Jeffrey Robertson, you know, top people in the media. The Murdoch empire has said that they support him. I mean, the Australian newspaper owned by Rupert Murdoch has said they support Julian Assange. Okay,
well, apparently, you know, Truth News supports him. Hey, look, you know, it's a crazy world. In fact, I found out yesterday my stepfather actually, my stepbrother used to play with Julian Assange. They were friends as kids, when they were little kids. My stepfather was in a band with his father, and apparently he got home. Julian Assange was homeschooled.
Right.
And he told me, he said, When they used to play, they used to have these imaginary figurines called wikis. Isn't that funny?
That is really, really fascinating. Look, let's get into that in the second half. We're going to take a quick break. I've got a song lined up here, and it's Faithless, Mass Destruction. Please enjoy.
Whether long-range weapon or suicide bomb, a wicked mind is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether your soul away, son, or BBC One, misinformation is a weapon of mass destruction. You could have Caucasian or a poor Asian. Racism is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether inflation or globalization, fear is a weapon of mass destruction. My dad came into my room holding his hat. I knew he was leaving. He sat on my bed, told me some facts, son. I have a duty calling on me, you and your sister, be brave, my little soldier. And don't forget all I told you. You're the mister of the house, now remember this. And when you wake up in the morning, give your mama a kiss. Then I had to say goodbye. In the morning, woke mama with a kiss on each eyelid. Even though I'm only a kid, certain things can't be hid. Mama grabbed me, held me like I was made to go, but left her in the stories untold. I said, Mama, it'll be alright when Daddy comes home tonight. Whether long range weapon or suicide bomb, a wicked mind is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether your soul away son or BBC One, this information is a weapon of mass destruction. You could have Caucasian or Raporism. Racism is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether inflation or globalization, fear is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether Halliburton, Enron or anyone, greed is a weapon of mass destruction. We need to find courage, overcome. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. My story stops here. Let's be clear, this scenario is happening everywhere. And you ain't going to Nirvana or Farvana. You coming right back here to live out your karma with even more drama than previously. Seriously, just how many centuries have we been waiting for someone else to make us free? And we refuse to see that people overseas suffer just like we. Bad leadership and egos unfettered and free. We feed on the people they're supposed to lead. I don't need the people to pray and wait for the Lord to make it all straight. There's only now, do it right. Cause I don't want your daddy leave your home tonight. Whether long-range weapon or suicide bomb, a wicked mind is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether your soul away son or BBC One, misinformation is a weapon of mass destruction. You could have Caucasian or Raporism. Racism is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether inflation or globalization, fear is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether Halliburton, Enron or anyone, greed is a weapon of mass destruction. We need to find courage, overcome. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
We are back. Great song
that
there.
Was Faithless.
Really great song, yeah.
He's a great artist. He does a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, that's from a few years ago, that one, isn't it? I remember hearing it, yeah, like probably 4 or 5 years ago. It's great. Oh, there's just so much great music out there, isn't there? I mean, this, look, we're living in a time. Like, I'm so great. Sorry, I'm so happy to be. Don't know what I was going to say there. I'm grateful to be alive now, even though it's hard and I'm exhausted every day because I'm, you know, I'm working, I'm doing this show, I'm trying to juggle a few different things, and it's hard, but it's just, it's really exciting.
Well, you know, folks, the challenges in life are what make you stronger. So you have to be thankful for them. You know, the hardships are what you have to be thankful for, because without them, you don't grow. When you defeat a hardship, you grow as a person.
Yeah, you've got to use the difficulty. I remember this in an interview that Michael Caine did for some bizarre reason. I just always remember this Michael Caine talking to Parkinson about when you're in a situation of difficulty, you use that difficulty to actually progress yourself forwards. And absolutely, it's only by having challenges and difficulties that you progress forwards. And it's the unique quality of the difficulty that you're facing which will give you some new skill that will make you more powerful and more self-realized in the future.
Well, you know, I mean, absolutely. And I think it makes it fun when you look back at it. I mean, imagine getting a computer game that like Mario Brothers, and it's just without any of the difficulties, without any of the little turtles that come along and kill you, without any of the little pipes that you have to go down, but you just walk straight along. just a game where you just walk straight along and then you get the flag and you rescue the princess and ta-da, it's done. I mean, it'd be the most boring game in the world. You get bored of it, you turn it off, right?
That's right, yeah.
You need the challenges to make it fun.
Now, just to give you another example, I had a difficult period a few years ago where I couldn't get any work, but I had, you know, like the time to spend to learn some new things. And I directed a lot of my energy into learning a lot of skills in relation to the internet, programming, web development. And, you know, I was in a difficult situation because I was developing those skills, but I couldn't get any money. I couldn't make any money out of it. But the skills got stronger and stronger. And I became quite lethal, actually, with my skills.
Yeah, and, well, you know, now you're sought after because you're the only one.
Yeah.
Like very few in Australia that knows what you know.
And that's partly because I allowed myself to be in that situation without just, you know, changing careers. Like, you know, I'll just do something different because it's too hard now. You know, yeah. No, I used that difficulty and it was easy enough to have a laptop and just keep on learning and developing that knowledge. And that allowed me to actually build Truth News and some of the other stuff that I'm doing in relation to this show, as well as now, yeah, to be quite sought after in the industry as well. That's just an example. I mean, there's thousands of other examples. It's different for you. It's going to be different for everyone. But, you know, I feel sad when people say that they're really depressed and they feel that life has no purpose for them. Like, you know, it really doesn't need to be that way, folks. Life can be hard. It can be painful. But you don't have to feel that sense of life is hopeless, you know. I'm going to throw myself off a cliff. You don't have to feel that way.
That's right. That's right. And it's important to be able to feel pain.
Yeah.
You know, when you're feeling pain or you're feeling happiness or you're feeling joy, if you're feeling anything, it means you're alive. And you've got to just direct that feeling to something.
So yeah,
if you're feeling
yeah.
love, and, you know, direct it to your lover.
And even in relation to that feeling of being depressed that a lot of people have, you need to go into that and find out what that's all about. Because with many people, what it is that they know that the world is very wrong, but they feel so overwhelmed, they feel so hopelessly crushed by the lying and the injustice and the corruption that they feel that their existence is just pointless.
And, well, I'll tell you what you can do. On this Saturday, if you're in Sydney, come to the 9/11 Truth for Peace and Reconciliation that Heriwood's organised.
Please do.
And that's at 11 o'clock till, 16.
We're going to have a blast.
We're going to have a blast. We're going to be out there on George Street in front of Town Hall. And afterwards, we're all going to go to the pub for a beer and a get-together and a meal. And you know, you'll be with like-minded people and you can let all those frustrations out. And it's a fantastic way to feel, you know, like you're doing something.
Yeah. And if you're getting this podcast on the Friday, because we're doing it on the Thursday night, but hopefully you'll get this on the Friday. So just in case you haven't heard about it, get yourself down there on the Saturday, the 11th of December, and you'll be so welcome. And just another thing I want to say, because I get this so often, Josh, from people that I talk to. Some of them are people that I've known for years, you know, nice people. They just say, oh, why do you want to do this protesting thing, you know? And they say,
yeah.
What's the point? And then they say, don't you think it's just a waste of time? You know, the world is wicked, we know, but, you know, you'll never change it. You'll never have any influence.
Mm.
And, you know, I hear that and I... You know, it used to really get me down when people say that, and now, you know, I've developed a good response to it because I remember what Niels Harriet told me. Niels Harriet, the professor from the University of Copenhagen,
yeah.
When I kind of canvassed him with this question to see what his response is, yeah. and he said it's very simple, and try and remember this because it's really quite powerful. He said, "There was a time when I didn't know that 9/11 was an inside job, and up till that point." I didn't feel that I had to do anything about it, right?
Yeah.
But then he said, I looked into it, you know, someone gave me the information and I looked at it and then I realized, yes, we have been lied to.
Mm.
This is some kind of inside job. I don't know exactly what the depth of it. I don't know, but I know it's very serious, right? And he said, once I realized that, I had two choices. I could either ignore it or ignore that information and live in shame for the rest of my life. or I could become some kind of an activist. And that's it. Those are the two choices. There's no other choice. Either you, if you know it and you don't do anything, then you will live in shame.
Yeah.
Or you can become some kind of an activist. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be every day out there on the street, you know, with a bullhorn. Not at all. You don't even have to do any of that. All you got to do is even just talking to people that you know is great.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that Faithless song that we just played said it beautifully.
Yeah.
He said, inaction is a weapon of mass destruction.
So true.
And that's really true.
So true. So, yeah, I mean, you know, so it's simple. Like, and, you know, and you can say that to someone, look, if you know this and you say, you basically think that I've got some good information here, but you're just saying you don't want to do anything about it, then I'm sorry, but you're probably going to be living with shame for the rest of your life. You know, I'm sorry for you, mate. You can say that.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Folks, I'd just like to quickly interject here because, you know, we don't ask for, you know, people to sponsor us or to have money thrown at us, you know.
Well, we had our PayPal account shut down like Julian Assange.
Yeah, well, see, we're
I was actually going to be asking for money, to be honest. But my PayPal account was frozen, and I haven't taken alternate measures yet. So anyway, please continue.
But at the moment, you know, and we do want to ask for sponsorship from our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eventually, once we get that all sorted. But right now, you know, the sponsorship we get is by people commenting, by people spreading the word about Truth News, about people, you know, posting on Facebook, joining the Facebook friend page, the fan page.
That's really powerful. Really,
joining the Twitter, having a dialogue with us, it's really important to us. And you know, if you can do at least one thing of those, that would be fantastic. Because, you know, leaving comments on the truthnews.com.au page is really great because it lets us know that people are out there and listening. I mean, we can see the stats. We know you are. We know that you are listening. We don't know who you are, but we know that you are out there listening because we get the amount of downloads we get from the MP3s and stuff. But we really want to get some feedback. We want some dialogue. So, you know, folks, get on the website and help us out in that way. That would be really appreciated.
Absolutely. And we are going to be moving to a live show soon. And we did announce that on the last show. So that's still moving ahead.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. And we will be giving you updates on that. I'm going to be doing a few more shows before the end of the year. So just to get ready because it's going to be great. And we're going to actually have a call-in number, an Australian call-in number as well as a US call-in number, believe it or not. So we're going to have a show that spans two continents.
Yeah.
Love
it. Now, one thing... you know, if you do want to support Julian Assange, you can go to WikiLeaks there and donate to his cause for his legal team and all that. I know that the PayPal's down, but there's things called like Chipin, which is a micropayment service started by the founders of Pirate Bay.
Right.
And that's a really good service. In fact, we should probably look into having that on our site.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah.
You know, there's lots of ways you can support them. If you can't afford to, like I said with Truth News, you know, get out there and promote the freedom of this young man. Whatever you think his motives are or whatever else, he doesn't deserve to be in prison where he can be drugged or whatever they're doing to him right now.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. And of course, the charges against him haven't even been made very clear, as far as I know. I mean, you know, he's fighting extradition charges, but he hasn't actually been formally indicted with any crime. So it really is somewhat of a violation of human rights to have someone locked up in this way. He is a political prisoner at this point. I can't see any other way of describing it, because. I mean, have you ever heard of a situation like that, Josh, where someone can be basically put in prison when they haven't even been charged with a crime, let alone convicted?
Well, no, it's obviously a whole big, massive trump up. I mean, you know, you charge them with some pathetic little thing. Now that the the mafia have got him, that now that he's been kidnapped, yeah. they're coming out with informal discussions between the US and Swedish officials to possibly, take the WikiLeaks founder and deliver him to American custody. So it's not about that. It's about getting him into a penal system to then do whatever they want with him. And folks, don't think this won't happen. There is some very angry. I mean, I read some of the quotes. Very angry politicians out there who want blood.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of discussion. I was going to try and play you some stuff, but we've kind of run out of time. I mean, Alex Jones has done some interesting interviews on this, and I'll put some links up. He's had Wayne Madsen chime in, and Webster Tarpley, and Alex Jones is doing some good work there, though. I think also in basically taking a fairly neutral position on it himself. But
he also has stated the similar position to us, is that no one deserves to be behind bars for being a journalist and releasing information.
Absolutely, yeah. So, that's where we just have to draw the line. And we have to see that, obviously, having Visa withdraw their services to Assange and PayPal was an incredibly serious thing, almost as serious as him being put in jail, because that's like a concerted effort. That's like almost like it's almost like assassinating someone to cut off their money supply like that, and it suggests that there really is a very powerful force trying to crush the WikiLeaks organization.
Yeah, I mean, PayPal's been down all day.
Well, of course, PayPal is now down as a result of Anonymous, the organization Anonymous, doing denial of service attacks.
Yeah,
right,
and so, I think, quite honestly, that makes me happy. You know, I'm very happy about that, because bringing them down is a really good in-your-face thing. But it's an excuse for the powers to be to shut down the internet and tighten it even further. What I would like to see is a boycott, because they can't say anything against that. By people pulling their business from PayPal and putting it into the countless others alternatives out there.
Look, it honestly worries me a little, Josh, because this anonymous organization is quite—they're quite aggressive.
Yeah,
and they actually worry me, because I mean, I've met some of them in Australia, and I decided I didn't want to continue to be associated with them.
You know, whatever you think of them, they do their thing, and that's their thing.
Yeah, it's inevitable when things reach a head like that, when things boil over.
Absolutely,
you get this type of phenomenon.
It's a revolution. It's the start of a revolution. Really, it's a cyber revolution. And the thing is, it's really important that folks step back, because we don't want them to shut down the internet. They're already passing like the equivalent of the Patriot Act for the internet.
Correct.
And so we, by doing these hacking things, it never really runs in our favor. It never does.
No, well, it works within the problem reaction solution sort of paradigm.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a problem reaction solution paradigm. And I mean, we saw it when the same organization attacked the politicians for them wanting to put a censorship on the internet, that only further doubled their case for it.
Yeah.
They then went on the front end, because they did silly things like put X-rated material all over these politicians' websites and denial of service attacks and all sorts of stuff. And you know, it really doesn't. I don't feel it helps a cause. It makes you feel good. Like, it made me feel good today when I tried to log into PayPal to pay someone and it wouldn't let me on. And I thought, well, it's a small price to pay, to see them going down for this Julian thing. But then I thought about it for a while and I thought, no, you know what? It's better if we just all boycott.
Yeah. Well, look, I've been urging people to boycott PayPal ever since I got screwed by them. And I mean, I shed no tears over PayPal at all, because I know that they are essentially organized crime, And people, you might not believe it, but PayPal has been ripping people off for the last 10 years. It's just gradually got worse. And it's very, it's very serious, actually. So I'd love to do a whole show exposing PayPal, but
well, you know, there's plenty of alternatives. There's Google Checkout, yeah. Money Bookers, PayMate, OboPay, Amazon Payments. Oh well, Amazon, yeah, stay away from them because they're
indeed
dodgy. But you know, it goes on and on. E-Gold, that one's actually backed by physical gold, believe it or not, according to them. You know, so there's plenty of options. Do your research, type in PayPal alternatives. And, you know, we really don't need to use these organizations that that get easily swayed by the state. And I think it's really important to stand by your convictions and not only be outraged, but actually take action.
Quite true, quite true. Look, before we sign off for the night, I just want to highlight one local story because it's so in your face. And it came up last week. The police in Sydney are trying to bring in a new policy, and they're doing this outside the law. I mean, this is lawlessness, right? The police have applied to the Director General of Communities New South Wales, I don't even know what that is, to impose a no bikey colours condition on 29 venues in King's Cross in an effort to stop a turf war escalating between rival gangs. Now, it's interesting because I was in King's Cross last week at a club, and I noticed there were police everywhere, and I was just amazed to see, you know, and was actually at a Christmas party, and yeah. And then there were police marching up and down, just up and down all night long, right? And I've never seen anything like that before. And then the same day, the following day, I read this story, and I think it's probably connected because the police are on this campaign, you know, they're trying to stamp out the bikies. Now, look, a lot of people are going to say, and I've already had this from someone I spoke to about it, I don't like bikies, you know. I don't care. I don't like bikies. And look, can you know, if that's what you're saying or if that's what people are saying to you, where do we start, Josh? I mean, I'll hand it over to you.
Oh, well, first of all, it's total discrimination. I mean, do you like black people, you know? I guess they can help being bikies and you know, you can't help what colour or creed or sex you were born, but it's discrimination. And the other thing is, what actually constitutes a bikie? Do you have to be smelly and fat and ride a certain sort of motorbike, or can you be can you have a beard and ride a Vespa? Does that, you know, if you trunk?
Hello, Josh? Oh dear, I think we've lost Josh. We'll try and get him back.
Propaganda, disinformation, misinformation, deception, deceit, spin, untruths, half truths. Lies. You know the truth. Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia. www.truthnews.com.au.
Okay, Josh, are you back?
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying, you know, what really constitutes it? Can you be on a Vespa and wear a leather jacket or some, you know, blue jeans? Are you going to get tackled by some police officer for riding around the King's Cross on your Vespa?
It's kind of lawlessness, isn't it? I mean, if the police can just declare certain types of people as being undesirables,
yeah.
Doesn't that bypass like 1,000 years of common law?
Oh, it absolutely does. It ridicules and throws out the presumption of innocence.
Yeah, it says because you are wearing a certain type of tattoo, because you've got a certain thing around your neck, you belong to a tribe of people that we consider to be, unwanted, social hazard, and we're going to just impose all these injunctions on you. I mean, And once you accept that, you might as well accept that you could basically lock those people up in concentration camps as well, because once you've accepted the social exclusion, it's not very many more steps to saying, look, we're going to just round them up and throw them in camps. And continue.
Oh, I just wanted to say, before people say, oh, why do you stand up for all these criminals? No, you know, look, I don't like criminals. I don't like drug dealers. I don't like drug pushers. I don't even like drugs. I don't even drink beer. So
yeah,
don't give me that, you know. What I don't like is I don't even like booze buses, folks.
Yeah.
I don't want to be driving along. And actually, this is along the same vein, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't like driving along and being pulled over by a booze bus at random. Yeah, pull me over if I'm swerving all over the road.
Yeah.
If I'm, you know, obviously there's something wrong, pull me over. But if I'm just driving, if I'm obviously driving well, don't pull me over and take my presumption of innocence by making me prove myself in front of an officer. I mean, it really is a slippery slope. And, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, what are you, you know, people get killed by drink drivers. Of course they do, and I'm not for drink driving. I just don't think the way to go is by, you know, making me pull over. And this is the same sort of thing. This is just targeting people in a mass net and saying, you know, everyone is presumed guilty until they prove themselves innocent by blowing into this thing, or by saying that you're, you know, you aren't part of a bikie gang or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and you know, the protections that we have in law about the presumption of innocence and not being able to lock someone up unless they've been convicted, right? The right to a fair trial and judgment by your peers, right? You know, they're not just a joke. You know, they were hard fought for and won over a thousand years. Each one of those things went through field testing over a very long period of time to get to a point where it was agreed upon that this was a necessary safeguard, right? And we've seen these safeguards being stripped away. We're just seeing them being stripped away. And meanwhile,
you have another gang dressed in some blue, walking around the King's Cross, harassing people, sticking dogs' nose into people's crutches, and humiliating them in front of their peers and friends and random strangers. And you know, how does that make anyone feel safer?
But at the same time, I have to stick up for the police, because a lot of the work they do is great. You know, I mean, we've had a break in here in the building where I live, and the police have been coming around and asking and they've been very polite, you know, and you know, they're trying to find out what happened, and they're trying to help the person who lost a lot of gear, right? And I respect them for that. I know it's hard work that they're doing, because every time they do that, they don't know when they knock on your door how you're going to react, and you know, you might be the bad person as well, and they might have to suddenly, you know, their lives might be at risk at any moment because people are you know, react to the police in a certain way. And so, you know, the police have a very difficult job, and I really respect what they do in terms of normal police work, where they're trying to deal with these types of things.
Yeah, I totally 100%
yeah,
concur.
Yeah,
and that is the whole job of the policeman or woman, is when there's a phone call for a cry of help.
Yeah,
they are meant to be the force to help you, because you know, they've taken all our guns and by law they've taken all our protections away, so we can't self-defend even ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
If someone breaks in, so we have to rely on them. And so, you know, when they come around, it's an amazing job they do, because it's really a really difficult job. And that goes the same for security guards. I mean, you know, a lot of police and stuff, they have to look for trouble. They have to go around to the most troubling areas, full of drugs and dysfunctional families, dysfunctional areas, and deal with these sort of people. And I totally agree. What I don't agree with is this sort of strange netting of a police state that then just takes away everybody's freedoms, when police start seeing everybody as scum instead of just people who beat up on kids and their wives, or wives that, slap around their, husband, just the scum of society, or people that have got really harsh problems in their lives. Instead, they just deal with everybody the same, and this is the slow creep that we're seeing in our society. And it's really, really, and I can't stress it enough, important for people not to just sit back and be comfortable with that, not sit back and let the TSA grope you everywhere, and not be comfortable with dogs coming into the pub and sniffing you. Without, I mean, you don't have to do much. What you can do is go up to the, first of all, say to the policeman, I'm not happy with this, obviously don't do it if you've got any, herbs in your pocket. But, if you're a normal person that hasn't got anything wrong and not doing anything illegal, you should stand up and say, look, I am not comfortable with your presence and your interrogation when nothing's the problem here. No one's playing up. There's no one smashing someone over the head with a bottle. There's nothing going on here. And you're here sniffing around at everyone.
Yeah. And I should just say that there has been a movement against the sniffer dogs. But unfortunately, there actually are some laws that were passed in New South Wales that are extremely, I would say, unjust, that actually allow the police to use sniffer dogs in certain contexts. And there's actually, we'll put a link up here from the Civil Liberties Council of New South Wales, but it explains here that there are specific places where the police are under law allowed to do this. Now, I've got it here.
Now, did that come through from the Olympics? Is that...
February 2002, actually, Police Powers Drug Protection Dogs Act came into force. And that act... Sorry, we've got a bit of noise in the background here. Looks like we've got some bikies outside.
Oh, they're all moving to your place.
Yeah, they could have heard...
they're getting out of the cross.
Could have heard our conversation. Okay, so the Police Powers Drug Protection Dogs Act came into force. That act allows police to use sniffer dogs to perform searches without a warrant on people at pubs, entertainment events, and on public transport. Now, of course, we should never have let that happen. We should have had a mass uprising because that was the thin end of the wedge. We allowed that, you see. And, of course, if we allow that, if we allow them to come into pubs, we might as well, you might as well just accept the fact that one day they'll be coming into your home as well, okay? Because, I mean, a pub is a private, venue. Your home is a private venue. If they're allowed to come into a pub, then one day they'll be allowed to come into your home with their dogs. Yeah. They can just walk through your house. You know, random police check with sniffer dogs through your home. Does it seem ridiculous? Are you going to laugh? Are you going to laugh at me because I'm a conspiracy nut? Because if you are, I don't know. It's just... Can't you see the inevitable? Because it's just it's a few steps down the road that we're already on.
Yeah, look, the fact is, guys, that and girls, is the Germans weren't. It didn't just all of a sudden the Jews in Germany, they really thought, no, I'm a German citizen. This cannot happen to me. All of a sudden, they were knocking down the doors.
And let me also point out that a lot of people in Germany didn't like Jews, and a lot of people said, I don't care if you persecute Jews. I don't like Jews.
Yeah.
And because a lot of people went along with it, That's how they succeeded. That's how the Nazis succeeded. A lot of people hated Jews because they were the pawnbrokers. They were perceived as having a lot of power in society, and they were very successful at business. There was a lot of jealousy, a lot of resentment towards Jews. So Nazis start persecuting Jews. People go, I don't care.
Yeah.
But, of course, then the Nazis went on to persecute gypsies. And then they went on to lock up anyone who was against Nazis. they were, and then, then they had the burning of the Reichstag, and they had this big list of their enemies that they'd been building up for years. And that very same day, the very next day after the Reichstag fire, they rounded them all up and killed a whole lot of them. They executed thousands of people in the days following the Reichstag fire. They would come into their homes, take them into a little van, drive them out into the woods and shoot them.
And this isn't the story, guys. This isn't a film.
Yeah.
This isn't some DVD.
No, that really happened.
This is reality. This is what happened. This is just people. And people haven't changed fundamentally. People are still people. They can still be controlled and contrived to do evil, evil things. And if you let a system, because it's not about the people, because the Germans are just normal people like you and me. It was a system that allowed to grow and apathy that allowed to grow that created this. And people always talk about the Germans, but the same thing happened in Russia, and Italy, you know. It's really important that people don't, that people study history and don't let it repeat. And I know it's a long way off that here, but things happen exponentially and they happen very quickly. And, you know, people have to have their eyes open for something like that to see what's going on in the future. Because if some big event happened, an explosion or a suicide bomber or, you know, God forbid any of that, people would demand some very, very awful stuff.
Yeah, thanks for that roundup. Folks, see you on Saturday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And freedom to Assange.
And all the other unjust, all those who have been unjustly imprisoned around the world tonight. My prayers go to them too.
Absolutely.
Good night from us.
Good night.